We'll continue to bring our lives to God in prayer. It's to God we come because previous days have found us, some of us finding it hard to watch and witness the hardship, pain, destruction of, earthquakes destroying places, people's lives, out of control fires burning. And there may be some of those things that we feel inside of us that are rattling us and burning out of control. And it's our we're tempted, I think, to cry out or say, we're going to stop the world, I want to get off, let's leave this place. But what we've been hearing today in God's word, and I hope we've been experiencing, is that God says, don't be afraid, I'm with you, I'm beside you, I'm near you, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So let's continue to entrust our frazzled, frightened selves to God's good care. Let us pray. God, we are in a world that is desperate for you. When powers struggle for dominance and war, oppression and abuse result, when groups of people oppose one another because of ideology, religion, or culture, we need a God who's bigger than ourselves and our personal interests. So God, we offer up now in silent prayer those in our hearts and on our minds whose day is wrought with conflict. God, when people are disregarded and devalued because of poverty, geography, or disease, when compassion and justice is withheld to some because of sexuality, race, or gender, we need a Savior who is more compassionate than we are, who includes even those we would exclude. So, Savior, we entrust to you in silent prayer those in our hearts and on our minds who are suffering today. Oh God, when resources are mismanaged and abused, and the world and its creatures are destroyed, when motivation is scarce and creativity is in short supply to address the challenges that we face, we need a Spirit who is more powerful and more creative than we could ever be. Holy Spirit, we silently pray, wind your inspiration and restoration in and through those in our hearts and on our minds who need real hope today. Lord God, loving Savior, empowering Spirit. We offer you these prayers because we need you so desperately. Captivate us, call us, and fill us, that we may be carriers of your eternal life to this world that you love so dearly. Amen. Friends, our gospel lesson this morning is taken from Luke's gospel. We'll hear chapter 3, verses 15 to 17, and verses 21 to 22. Hear the word of God. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of Christ. Thanks be to God. I know you're not thinking about summertime and roller coasters, but this image might be soothing for you. For others, it might be upsetting. I want to tell you a story. Because some years ago, I invited Diane to join me on the stand-up roller coaster at Canada's Wonderland. Now, she reluctantly joined me in the line, and we shuffled along until we were strapped in, and as the ride proceeded up the track, her reluctance turned into full-blown panic. And I could hear the panic. And I could feel the panic. And all the encouraging and comforting words I lovingly sent her way were moot to her impervious and seething bluster. Even the hand and arm I offered for comfort was met with a nail-impaling grip. She left marks, ensuring that I would never forget what I had instigated. Now, not only were her hands clenched, her eyes were clenched as well. And I thought, she's missing out on all the fun. And we were at the mercy of the ride and the mercy of the ride operator who had set all this in motion. And all the protest in the world was not going to quell or terminate the experience. In the end, I had to admit that it was not at all fun for Diane. And the fun was certainly diminished for me as I sought for a long time after that to adequately repent of my miscalculation of this making memories adventure. Now, it's important to note that we had a choice to go on the ride or not to go on the ride. And I have no doubt whatsoever that the choice we'll make Should the opportunity present itself again, I think Diane's grateful to know that they actually retired the Sky Rider at Canada's Wonderland back in, I think, 2014. So the chances are pretty slim. But when it comes to being at the mercy of certain forces and powers in life, there are many that we have no choice about. And not all the forces that impinge upon us are visible. The cold polar vortex that slipped down stealthily from the north this past week took a numbing grip upon communities throughout the Canadian and American Midwest. And then the earth trembled in Tibet and brought death and destruction to thousands. And who saw that coming? And the Santa Ana winds fanned the wildfires ravaging the Pacific coast around Los Angeles. Winds you could not see, but certainly their terrorizing and deadly effects were felt and seen. Friends, I think the most powerful forces that impinge upon our lives are subtle and insubstantial. And humankind has always sought to harness and sometimes even defy the earth's forces. But as clever as we think we are, the currents of tide, gravity, magnetism, water, air still trump our best efforts and naive intentions to tame them. And apart from nature's dominance, there are other powers and forces these days that are threatening humankind's very existence. See, I have to confess that current societal and cultural trajectories sometimes elicit the same kind of feelings that Diane emoted in her existential threat. I feel stuck, strapped in, nowhere to go, totally out of control, within and without. Take the exponential breadth and speed of influence and power building today with artificial intelligence tells me we're on a dangerous ride. Google recently announced the introduction to Willow, right? A computer processor that can solve problems in 5 minutes that current supercomputers would take more time than the age of the universe to compute. There are other forces at work which are tough to apprehend, let alone comprehend. We might not be able to clearly see or define the plethora of forces that move us and direct us, the forces that drive and empower us to respond one way or another. But we certainly know they exist, and we see their effects, and we know them to be more powerful than any individual human will. Evil is a force, a powerful force, that works against the image of God in the world, the image of God in us. We see its effects in our culture: lying, hatred, pride, superficiality, materialism, egoism, temporal and passing values, and idolatry. Corrupt systems, intangible influences leave the mentally ill out in the cold and refugees dodging bullets. How is a person expected to combat these powers, fight these forces, and move toward more life-giving ways? On our own, we're strapped in, swept along by swelling torrents, sucked in by hidden undercurrents, often before we know what hit us. Even fighting collectively can leave us exhausted, discouraged, and without hope. And as I noted, sometimes we do respond by crying out, "Stop the world, I want to get off." More often than not, however, we go with the flow, because that at least seems less painful and less hard. Friends, long ago, a new trajectory was initiated, a countercurrent, a new force to be reckoned with. And while the world spun out of control, someone said, "I'm coming on. I'm entering in, but I'll be moving in a different direction." And we recently celebrated its advent. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The image of the invisible God stepped into history to inaugurate a new realm and reign. Christ came into the world to destroy the forces of evil, to challenge the current empires, and inaugurate a new earth. 1 John 3:8 states that the devil has been sinning from the beginning, and that the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work, to buck the life-destroying trends. And John thought the kingdom of God might be achieved by some catastrophic act of God, by some cosmic and divine power switch. Still today, people wait in the wings for a revival to make things better, an awakening consciousness to unite the world and its inhabitants, and to lead it into the next human epic. Or they wait for a whirlwind of reform in political and economic conditions to bring about a peaceful one-world government. Jesus taught, however, that this new order of things will not come suddenly. The process of redemption is always patient and gradual. He knew it must be built by the grace of God through those who are willing to live, to work, to suffer, and if need be, to die for the Father's purposes. Jesus did not even begin his ministry formally until, in humility and obedience, he came before John in the Jordan to be baptized. Jesus stepped into the current as into the flow of the Jordan River. And he stepped into the current as into the present circumstances of a people longing to be free from an empire of power, control, enslavement, forces robbing them of life. Friends, the Jordan River is a rich metaphor for articulating an intangible reality. As many of you know, the Jordan River flows from north to south, from Galilee to the Dead Sea. Its source in the north is lofty, lush, and green, full of life space. And it ends in the lowest part of the earth, dead, dry, and desolate, the Dead Sea. And Jesus went to the bottom of everything to lift it up anew. And in a way, Jesus, who was without sin, began to take upon himself the sin of the world by entering into the once living waters, now swirling with the residue of penitent God-fearers. And he then went hard against the current, against the flow, beginning with a confrontation of the deceiver in the desert. And 40 days later, he moved back to the crossroads of the earth and region of the source of the life-giving river. So what would be the sign that a new current was flowing, that it was possible? And you'll recall that following Jesus' baptism and temptation in the desert, Jesus returned to his home region of Galilee. And he soon found himself speaking to his hometown folk in Nazareth at the synagogue one Sabbath day. And the words he spoke were from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus was speaking about himself. And at first, everyone was amazed, and they were pleased with what they saw and they heard. They're saying, "Isn't that nice? What a wonderful boy Joseph and Mary's boy turned out to be. You know, he's sure done us proud here in Nazareth." And then just in a short time, they were ready to throw him off a cliff. Friends, when the gospel is heard, we stand at a critical juncture. We are either better or worse. If either affirms and encourages our current trajectory, that's what it does. It either affirms and encourages our current trajectory, or it serves to judge and challenge us to move in a different direction. We're never the same after being confronted with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And throughout the gospels, we find the same scenario. People were either transformed by it or were repelled by it. And the movement towards God's kingdom goals had been reestablished, and rather than go with the current dominant flow, Jesus continued on his way as the way, a new way. And he called people out from the world to become agents for transformation. A transformation that would find the poor experiencing good news, the brokenhearted being put back together, the captives being set free, the prisoners released, mourners comforted, and the despairing articulating praise. So, friends, while the world around us recklessly hurls itself toward and forward into apparent oblivion, we grasp hold of the one who came on board to hold us with the promise to never leave us or forsake us. Real transformation takes place when we move in a direction that is counter to the world, the way of the sun. But know this, friends. Loyalty to Christ does not necessitate a withdrawal from culture or a giving up responsibility for the world. H. Richard Niebuhr, in his book Christ and Culture, said, "The movement of withdrawal and renunciation is a necessary element in every Christian's life, even though it be followed by an equally necessary movement of responsible engagement in cultural tasks." After all, it was into a particular culture that Christ entered. While we're here, we have a responsibility to live in the world. Not to say, stop it, I want to get off. Remember that Jesus admonished us to be in the world, but not of it. Right? So don't despair or jump off. We may be tempted to, given that going against the current in the opposite direction of most others inevitably results in a whole lot of headbutting, right, and a few headaches. No one can take on the cultural tides alone. Even Jesus, the anointed one, the sent one, depended upon the Spirit of God. And with the divine call comes the equipping of the Spirit. The Spirit is God personally present and active in his appointed agents. Friends, ignorance and forgetfulness of our divine power and force is the church's and the Christian's most hampering weakness. For our competency, said Paul to the Corinthians, is not from ourselves, but from God. And the promise of God's word is, we hear in 1 John 5, verse 4, "For whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers our world, our faith." Certainly, the way of the coming kingdom of God will involve tumultuous events and losses that must be endured. There will be partial victories too, and it will require a kind of concentration that is willing, as Jesus was, to face the cross and go past it into life. It may be against the current, but let's strap in confidently with the one who's in control. Let us pray. God, we thank you for entering the flow of our discordant world in the person of Jesus. Thank you for turning the tide of sin and death through his loving sacrifice. Thank you that we can live and move in his eternal, life-giving way. In Jesus we pray. Amen.